It is Ryan Seacrest here. People always say it's good to unwind, but that's easier said than done. The exception, Chumba Casino. They actually make it easier done than said, or at least the same. Chumba Casino is an online social casino with hundreds of casino-style games like slots and blackjack. Play for fun. Play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sign up now and collect your free welcome bonus at chumbacasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.
Shit show. Taking care of ourselves emotionally. What does it mean to take care of myself emotionally? I recognize when I'm feeling angry and I accept that feeling without shame or blame. I recognize when I'm feeling hurt and I accept those feelings without attempting to punish the source of my pain. I recognize and feel fear when that emotion presents itself. I allow myself to feel happiness, joy, and love when those emotions are available. Taking care of myself means I've made a decision that it's okay to feel. Taking care of my emotions means I allow myself to stay with the feeling until it's time to release it and go on to the next one. I recognize that sometimes my feelings can help point me toward reality, but sometimes my feelings are deceptive. They are important, but I do not have to let them control me. I can feel and think too. Sometimes, unless you're an emotional flashback. I talk to people about my feelings when that's appropriate and safe. I reach out for help or guidance if I get stuck in a particular emotion. I'm open to the lessons my emotions may be trying to teach me. After I feel, accept, and release the feeling, I ask myself, what is it I want or need to do to take care of myself? Taking care of myself emotionally means I value, treasure, explore, and cherish the emotional part of myself. Today, I will take care of myself emotionally. I will be open to and accepting of the emotional part of myself and other people. I will strive for balance by combining emotions with reason, but I will not allow intellect to push the emotional part of myself away. So this reading made me think about how Tion Dayton really pushes that this adult child recovery is all about developing emotional literacy. And so in her, I have this book, one of hers, but she talks about in here, like the four steps of emotional literacy. I think I might've shared about this once in a meeting, but so like stage one is feel the fullness of the emotion. Stage two is to label it. Stage three is to explore the meaning and function within the self. So gaining the context of it. And then stage four is choose whether or not to communicate our inner state with another person. I think that that's interesting. And here's what she says. This informed ability to choose gives us a great deal of power and self-confidence. Choice means that we can talk out rather than act out, that we can decide whether communicating our feelings will help our cause or hurt it, that we can decide how much to communicate according to our own needs and according to a realistic assessment of who we were talking to and what we're talking about, that we can figure out our most effective mode of communication, that we can do what is truly in our own best interest instead of what we may feel like doing in a heated state of emotional arousal, that we can deepen understanding, communication, and intimacy with another person. So the one question that I kind of wanted to pose to you that goes with this is I'm curious what you've learned about yourself emotionally over this past year, as far as how you experience emotions. What is something that you've come to realize just about feelings in general? Maybe feelings that you've tried to avoid this year. What is a feeling that you realize that you felt when you were a kid? I mean, it's really wide open, you know? The biggest thing for me this year has been by leaning into the parts work, that has allowed me to confront my feelings in a way that I wasn't really able to before. The ability to know that when I'm feeling such an intense emotion, that that's not all of me and that's just part of me, has made confronting really painful, heavy, scary emotions in such a different way. It's allowed me to not run from them and actually like stop in the moment without judgment and be like, hey, like what is this about? I think it was I don't know when it was, back in the spring. You know, I was kind of on this more of this like inner child kind of route of whenever these hard, heavy, painful emotions came up for me, of going straight to like the reparenting. But then at a certain point, I stopped that. And instead of being like, I'm here for you, like, you're okay, kind of shifting to more of a place of what's this about? Because I realized that when I was immediately going to a place of like trying to take care of my inner child, that I'm not really allowing my inner child the space to actually express what she may be feeling. I think that I've also come to terms with how much I dissociate or checked out. Like, it's like I know that this whole Candy Crush thing was like such an issue, but I don't think I really was able to grasp how much of it is checking out or dissociating, just because I feel like I'm still present. I don't know how to explain it. Because I can do that and like six other things at the same time, if I don't view it as checking out, but it clearly is. And what else? I would say that Kiki passing away and feeling that grief and that sadness was like, I've never felt anything like that before. That was just, I've never experienced loss in that way. It was like a totally different experience of like something being so painful and sad, yet so beautiful at the same time. I really felt like I was going to die when I lost her, you know, but that last week was horrible. But the grief that's come afterwards has been really beautiful. And then the last thing I'll say is just, I feel like I've also gotten to a new place of my parents' emotions not impacting me in the ways that they once did, and really being able to see them as traumatized people lashing out and, you know, and not getting into like a dysregulated or triggered state when they want to lash out. So yeah, so that's all for me. So I'd love to hear anything that you have to say about emotions.
Hey guys, I think this year, maybe in the last few years, but in this year in particular, I have come to understand that I don't need to carry shame for having emotions, for feeling emotions. When I was a kid, I had a father who was entirely emotionally shut down. I never saw a genuine emotion from him once. Neither positive nor negative. My mother was hysterical in her emotions, and she left no space in the family unit for anyone else to have emotions. So I was quite an emotional kid, especially as a teenager, and the main emotion which surfaced was anger. And my anger can go from 0 to 11 in half a second. It's frightening. And that has been the main emotional response that I project, or that I exhibit, that freaks people out around me. I have a tendency to choose partners. I've had two long-term relationships, and both of them were very emotionally shut down, very reserved. They suppress their emotions. They pretend they don't exist. What I've come to learn this year, well, I think I've come to empathize with people like that. I've tried to understand how they experience life and how they go through life, trying their hardest not to feel feelings and to never show them. And I prefer the fact that I'm a person who wears my emotions on my sleeve. I prefer that I feel my emotions. I might not be able to have a very good control over what I do with those emotions at the moment, but I can learn. It's a starting point to at least know that I have these emotions and I can recognize them and I can compartmentalize them. So I think that's my main point. I'm coming to understand that other people don't experience life and their emotions the same way I do. And I prefer that I experience emotions fully and express them, at the moment a little bit too much perhaps. But at least that's the starting point I can work from and move forward. Thanks, guys.
Hi, guys. I rose my hand pretty quickly because it's there's synchronicity in what I did yesterday, which was listen to the IFS talk from the Cycle Breaker. Her name is, she's really, oh no, Melissa Stewart. And she gave four steps. And in my recent, I would say month or two or whatever, three, I've been getting a little bit more courageous and making myself talk about my, I guess they're my parts, but I've done very little part work, and they're areas of me that I call my neuroses. I want them gone. I want go away. I don't need you anymore. And I, between a therapy last week, kind of, she told me initially when she met me, she just knew I needed to talk. I needed somebody to hear my story and just dump. And I hadn't talked about many, 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 many things ever about me and my life. And now she's sitting with these courageous moves, shifting. And after I listened to this talk, I feel like, okay, I get it. I do have all these parts. They protected me really well. And she said something, Carrie just said something about shame. Compassion and acceptance of all our feelings helps lessen the shame feeling. And then an IFS saying, she said, is what's in the way is often the way. Well, I'm getting it. I've done a little IFS work now, in particular with an 11-year-old, very upset, you know, preteen, and had a lot of angst. There's a lot of pain in there, but I don't have to carry it. I get to talk it out, deal with it, see how it helped me. And then I feel, you know, I made a lot of progress, but I haven't been able to really identify it the way I am now. Is gestaltly, my parts are seeing that I can do things in a better way and they can relax. And now I'm going to do a lot more talking to them and learning about them. And she had 4 steps, which are almost identical to what Andrea just read. She said, notice the part. Where do you feel it in your body? That's a big one for me. If it's up here, it's not feeling. And it could be constriction. It could be butterflies. It could be just neck pain. But go there and ask it. She says, ask that part what they want you to know. And then ask that part, what do they need you to do? What do they need from you? And then that's 4 parts. But then at the end, she says, set an intention to honor that need. Wow. All I got to say is, wow, wow, wow. You know, when the puzzle pieces start to fit, you know, I feel like it's going in the center. And it's funny I've said that because I have never been a video game person or Candy Crush or whatever, but I have started doing jigsaw puzzles online. And they help you kind of when you get close to what fits, but I love the shape. I don't know why I like it. And I don't think it's that I'm trying to distract myself or disassociate or anything. I'm resting. I'm resting my brain. I'm enjoying it. And on some level, it's symbolic. And I love you. I see tons of hands up. I can't wait to hear you.
Hi, everyone. So I've learned a lot this year about feelings. And one of the things I've learned is even how to, you know, before I started doing this work, there were like a couple feelings I acknowledged, like happy, sad, angry. I didn't know how to put a name to a feeling. I didn't understand anything of what was going on with me. I always had the feelings, like somatic. I always felt it in my body, but I didn't understand that that had anything to do with anything. I didn't know where that came from. So I've learned that here. You know, I've learned here that like nobody needs to fix my feelings, and I don't need to fix my feelings, and I don't need to fix other people's feelings as well. We're all entitled to whatever it is we're going. That's, you know, like that was the hardest part to me because of my codependence, feeling responsible for other people's feelings. And if they were feeling bad or if they were feeling sad or if they were feeling like whatever it was, I just felt like it was my job to fix it, make it better. And I don't even need to make myself better. You know, you had said it, I think it's okay to sit with it because I too, in the beginning, when we started the reparenting, when we're going through the reparenting book, and I've heard a lot, you know, I'm not doing the parts work, but I have enough familiarity with the parts work to understand parts and to go to that place where I want to, you know, be compassionate with the part. And yes, that's very important, but I wasn't recognizing the feeling. I was going right to that place of trying to without even realizing it, make the feeling go away, you know? So my therapist said something to me about a month or two ago when I was in a very, I was very dysregulated, and she told me I was, and she asked me what I do to self-soothe, and I told her what I do, and I told her of these actions of like going down to the water and trying to have peaceful time and maybe doing some journaling and quiet time. And she had basically told me like, that's not really self-soothing. And she had suggested, and it was the, it finally clicked for me. And it was a very simple sentence. And usually I have to like write things down when she says things to me, because like, I don't remember it and I don't do it. But when she said to me, what am I feeling right now? And what do I need? It's that simple. What am I feeling right now? And what do I need? So whenever I am in a state, which can happen often, it's usually due to my feeling that I'm not good enough. I'm not getting enough attention. I'm not loved enough. It's the core abandonment wound feelings of just not being loved, because I need to, you know, I need to believe I'm loved, and I need to be reminded I'm loved, and I'm looking for it from other people. And what I'm looking for from other people is something that I'm not going to get from other people, right? You know, not that other people aren't going to love me, but they're not going to love me. I'm not going to get what I didn't receive from my parents, from my friends, or my boyfriend. And like, that's okay. So when I am having a response or a reaction to something that's happening or not happening, I'm able to identify today that it is a, you know, historical or hysterical, like I can identify that it's not necessarily appropriate for what is happening at the time. And I can take that time to, and it doesn't always, I'm not always able to answer it right away, because, you know, I still have to look at my feelings wheel and I still have to really give it thought. But it's like, what am I feeling? Like, what am I really feeling? And sometimes I'll think I'm feeling one thing, but I'm feeling something totally different when I look at that wheel. And then it's like, oh man, this is what I'm feeling. This is it. And then it's easier for me to go to like, what do I need? And the reality is, what I need, you know, I'm going to get from my higher power, from my higher self. And I'm going to get that by having some compassion for myself. I remember I've talked about this before, you know, when I first came in here, a friend of mine who I was very close with for a long time, she had started this journey prior to me. And, you know, I think she would get frustrated with me because she saw that I wasn't feeling right. And she would ask me something and I wouldn't talk about my feelings. I would talk about a judgment. I would talk about a thing, not necessarily what was going on inside of me. And I know that was very frustrating for her. And I can see that now, like a year or so later. And I'm just going to say, like, it's taken me this long to even want to identify and feel my feelings. And there are times that I still don't want to feel my feelings. And I think that's okay, because I will when I'm supposed to. So I've learned so much here, and this is such a great topic. And also Terry had mentioned having empathy for those around me who are not like me. In other words, like, I can see other people in my life who I'm close with, who I love, who are just maybe more avoidant, or they don't necessarily want to feel their feelings. And, you know, I just want to, again, because I think that I can fix people, I want to go to this place of like, let's have a session and talk about how you're feeling. And I mean, that's what my friend used to do to me. That used to make me crazy, because I just wanted her friendship. I didn't want her to tell me, like, I didn't want her to be my therapist. So, you know, I've learned, I'm just continuing to learn. And yeah, I'm really glad that I got on this meeting today. It's a great meeting.
Yeah, good topic. I definitely, when it comes to emotions, I used to be a way oversharer. And I am definitely one that feels emotions strongly, and I am not shy to tell people exactly how I feel in the moment ever. And so I'd say for me, the biggest lesson that I have learned this year and that I've actually been able to put into action is just taking that moment before I share and, you know, like the reading said, like choosing who to share it with or if it's appropriate to share, if it will make it worse or make it better. And I've definitely needed some help in the past. I remember like having an ex-boyfriend that I would come home. I had a really stressful job at that moment and would come home and just vent and vent, like, and it got so bad. My situation at work, like I would vent for like an entire hour every day. And yeah, it got to the point where he was like, I don't need this. Like, this is hurting me, you know? But in my mind, I'm like, why can't you just be supportive? Listen to me. And it's like, well, maybe you need to journal. Maybe you need a therapist. Maybe you can find a different outlet that isn't going to destroy our relationship. And at the time, like, I wasn't yet in this work. So it didn't make any sense to me. And I was just angry at him for not being able to support me. And now I totally get it. And a new job, new relationship. I'm in a way different space now. And when I first got into this healing work, I was like almost obsessed with it. I immersed myself in every podcast and book and that I could find. Just wanted to therapize every situation and like analyze and understand and dissect. And then that got to a point where my current relationship, he was like, and he's very avoidant and I would argue maybe somewhat in denial, but that's his journey and not mine. And so I don't need to analyze him. I don't need to give advice. I don't need to, you know, that's not my space. Everybody's on their own path. They all figure it out at their own time. And yeah, it did get to the point though where he was like, you know, like, I love talking to you and I love how insightful you are. And he's like very kind about it, but you know, can we have conversations? Not every conversation has to involve psychology or you trying to understand, you know, like. And so that was really like eye-opening to me that I can reserve, you know, these emotions or these thoughts or these, like, and not just about why you might feel like this, oh, this comes from that, or where is it coming from, like, but about anything, like if I'm just having a down day, or sometimes like after I see my therapist, I'm kind of like in a depressed mood. And of course he's caring and he's going to ask what's wrong, but it's like, you know, I don't have to share that with you every time. I don't have to bring us both down or like, it's not going to help. You're not the cause of why I'm sad. You didn't cause this depression. And it was just something that I was talking about earlier, thinking about earlier. And I'm, you know, I've since journaled about it. I'm like, getting over it. I'm starting to come out of it, but I don't need to go back down into it just because you asked me, are you okay? And part of me does kind of feel a little bit childish when he's like, are you okay? And I say, I'm fine. or I'm starting to work on saying, I will be fine. And you don't have to be concerned every time I am. Like, this is my baseline. I am a depressive person. So every time I'm sad, you don't have to ask about it. And, or, I don't know. It makes me feel good that he cares. But yeah, be able to keep that to myself and be okay with keeping it to myself. And progress.
Bye, Christine.
So I have been feeling like I've been wrangling my inner children. Like I'm like a babysitter to my inner children. And I don't have children. But I'm a teacher and we're in the cafeteria, so it's probably loud. But I recently have been doing the meditations to like meet your inner mother. And I'm not like a big energy, like I'm not a big energy person, you know, like I'm not, like I wouldn't consider myself like woo-woo, if that means anything to anyone. But I literally did not know that I have like mother energy like in me. And it's been so helpful to find this kind of mothering, self-caring, compassionate, like unconditional loving, like person within me for my inner children, because I was really getting frustrated with them. Because they're kind of a pain in the ass. And so I've also been doing the dominant, non-dominant handwriting. And so when I met my inner mother, like my inner child, the first question was like, what are we going to do about Juanita? So Juanita's my mom, my real mom. And it was like, it was such a fucking trip, dude. But it was like separating like your own inner mother from your own mother and realizing that the reason why she can't be a mother is because she doesn't have an inner mother. So I'm just really tripping out about this whole thing, but it's just been really nice to be able to go into that inner like resource of the mother energy. Maybe I am woo-woo, but she helps me understand my emotions, because I realize that like my little people, they're really reactive, and they don't, you know, they don't really understand the words to emotions. And so now I have this kind of other place that I can go to get that information, which has been like really nice. But it just really, like, this shit is spooky. I have not accessed this part of myself or my brain ever. And so, yeah, that's where I am. Thank you for letting me share.
So I'm just kind of at the beginning of all of this. So I love hearing everyone's stories about how they're working through their emotions. For me, it was never safe to share emotions. I grew up with a diagnosed narcissistic mom, and actually one of her psychiatrists told me that I should run from her, that she would destroy my life, and I didn't do it. So she has passed away a couple of years ago, and I haven't really felt anything about it yet. Now all the anger and shame are starting to hit me. I kind of pushed all of that away. I didn't want to hear anything about her. I didn't keep anything of hers. She was cremated. I had my aunts and uncles took her ashes. I didn't want to go to any of the ceremonies or anything they had, because I just, honestly, I felt like I hated her. I know that's a terrible word, but I felt trapped. And then I'm still just like with Terry, my main emotion now is anger, and I'm having a hard time not seeing everything through that lens of anger. And then I'm not really sure what exactly I'm angry at, if I'm angry at her, if I'm angry at myself for staying in it for so long. So it's going to be a short share. I just kind of wanted to, you know, put that out there. And I love hearing everybody's perspective on how they're dealing with everything. And yeah, it's just starting for me. And I'm kind of where Casey was, where I'm immersing myself in all these like books and podcasts and YouTube videos and anything I could get my hands on, which feels good, but also overwhelming. So I've got to find that sort of balance, but that's pretty much all I had. I just wanted to say thank you.
Okay, shit show dudes, you can tune out. This is for my fellow shit show ladies. Are you going through perimenopause or menopause? I'm not quite there yet, but I know that I have plenty to look forward to. Feeling like a wet sock driving down the highway. Night sweats. Poor sleep. Feeling tired all the time. Bloating. Gas. Man, can't wait for this shit. Now, if that is applicable to you, then you have to try Hormone Harmony. So Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 fucking seconds, okay? Now, Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work. Now, for my younger shit show women like myself, if you struggle from that vicious week before your period, you want to crawl out of your skin, experience cravings, want to eat hate everything in the damn house, you feel a little bit down or off, well, Happy Mammoth also has a product for you to make it easier to manage your PMS with their Estro Control. So for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code ADULTCHILD at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code ADULTCHILD for 15% off today.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Every day when you log into ChumbaCasino.com, the ultimate online social casino, you get a free daily bonus. Imagine if you got daily bonuses in other parts of your life.
I chose French fries over loaded French fries.
I asked Stuart from accounting about his weekend, even though I don't care.
I updated my operating system without having to call tech support.
Collect your free daily bonus at ChumbaCasino.com now. And live the Chumba life.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hi. I think I've learned too much in the last year to boil it down, but I can say that the parts work, I feel blessed for understanding parts work because it has allowed me to compartmentalize what I now identify as feelings, what I didn't understand because I didn't have feelings before. I wasn't allowing myself to have feelings before. So the parts work has allowed me to compartmentalize and kind of put those feelings into a space and allow them to happen because it's not all of me. It's just a part of me. So I don't have to be overwhelmed by it. And I think it's kind of ironic in a way. I was talking about it with my therapist the other day because it's almost like, well, it is, I'm observing that part of me, right? So it's almost like I'm dissociating from the feeling while feeling it at the same time. So it's kind of weird. Yes, this stuff is trippy, Christy. But I think the deeper I go into my feelings and my parts' feelings and understanding their origins and getting curious and talking to my parts and finding out why, the deeper I go, the more I understand that everything is about shame and all of my feelings are about shame. And my entire existence and everything that I am has been formed or squashed because of shame. And so I'm going through a period of shame busting, which is fucking painful, and looking at all the shame I have and why I have that shame, and is there any way to get around it? And, you know, sometimes I get up in the morning and I, you know, my moods are kind of erratic sometimes, and you just, it's just, it feels defeating to like just have another day that's filled with like, why am I having this shame? And then the next day I feel better because I understand a little bit more, right? So you just got to keep pushing through. And I keep saying, I mean, the only way out is through, the only way out is through. And I don't even wish there was another way now because I understand that this is the only way. This is it. I got to understand it and I got to break it down and I got to live it. And I have to ask these questions. And I had a conversation in therapy the other day, and I said, you know, like there has to be a faster way to do this because I feel like it's going so slow. And so we talked about ketamine, and he said to me, you don't need to do ketamine, Carrie. You're doing it. You're doing the work. You just have to be patient. You're doing it. So I'm encouraged and discouraged, but I'm going through it, and I'm grateful for this space, and I'm grateful for everyone's shares and for feeling heard and for being able to do that for other people as well.
Hey guys. So what I've learned about emotions this year and in this year in general, you know, and I know I posted a big, long kind of thing the other day in there, and I am in a position right now where I am just really, really grateful at how the healing process is finally kind of taken in. I've learned to regulate my emotions. You know, when I first came in here, you know, just whatever wound had been ripped open, it was an abandonment wound. And it was my, you know, my inner child, like, screaming, which you try to figure out, like, where the fuck, like, you know, I've never woken up in a sense of panic where I felt like I was going to die. And then having that moment and then going through the things and the, like, splitting from the mother and my children, like, really just kind of deciphering things, like, only thing I've ever fucking seen is anger and chaos. So obviously, those are the only coping tools I have during dysregulation. It is anger and chaos. And I've learned to quell that a bit. It's no longer reactionary things. I've been able to take myself out of that, like you were saying, playing Candy Crush, Andrea, you know, and also carrying a conversation and trying to talk to two different people while washing the dishes and doing six different things and being so just fucking disconnected from myself. I haven't played my apps sporadically in 2.5 weeks. You know, they just don't import to me anymore. I found a place to, like, let go of those things and, like, regulate my emotions, and it's no longer anger and chaos. And Carrie, like, that want to do it rapidly, like, I don't know, all of a sudden just shit, like, started pulling itself together. And, you know, the friends that I've got here that are close to me, my circle, that some of the things that they say, they're like, what the fuck, dude? Like, what happened? You know, it's like going so fast for you now. Like, you just, like, they're having trouble keeping up with the way that I'm starting to process things, move through things. It's like a part of my brain just finally opened back up. And that's something that I've realized too. Like, emotionally, I've been repressing myself for so long to accommodate those around me for acceptance. You know, I have dumbed myself down. I don't talk about the things that interest me. I don't look at, like, the things that I wanted to do because it was accelerating so far around those people who were, quote unquote, my support group, who made me feel accepted back then, you know, and realizing, like, how parasitic a lot of those relationships were. Like, this year has been grand for me in just learning how to keep my things in check. I don't just react anymore. And now when I am reacted, it's mainly using tools like going, hey, I can't talk to you this right now. Leave me alone. Can you give me 10 minutes? Like, trying to separate myself instead of screaming, like, stupid obscenities, you know, cutting, you know, at the deepest fucking core wound that I could fucking find just to get that 2 inches of space so that I can have a moment of quiet to regulate myself. Those are now things that are, like, in action as they happen. And a lot of it is just listening to y'all. I spent a good period after I finally just got that portion out of me listening to y'all, you know, just logging in, not sharing, not doing a lot of those things, you know, like just trying to regulate those things. And that's, like, some of the biggest things about emotions. It's like going back home this past weekend, walking through the house where my sexual trauma happened, where, you know, the emotional confusion of being told I love you while you're getting the shit beat out of you, you know, for things of disobedience and stuff, like learning those things, like walking through there and not feeling a fucking one of those ghosts pull at my shirt tail, like, felt liberating. And part of that is just the emotional regulation, the things that I've learned from y'all, listening to the shares that y'all have, how y'all are working on things. And that's been one of the biggest things as far as, like, the way I learn is to really just soak in what it is that's working for you, what it's not working for you, and then looking at how I can make those applicable to me and in which process that it does work. So that's one of the things, like, learning, like now I've got this idea. I want to go through, I want, you know, I've reached out to my friends of different faiths. I want to see how their, you know, childhood things that happened to them in their faith and the way that they work, how it's imprinted on them so that I can continue to further myself. You know, look at how I want to grow, look at how I continue to regulate my emotions, and then how I can turn around and share it with y'all. And it is that whole thing about relational trauma takes relational healing. I've really, really just buried myself into that thought. And the people that I have surrounded myself with, the people that I communicate with, are ones that breathe breath of wellness. Like, they're not trying to build me. They're breathing that breath so that I build myself. And that is one of the biggest things that I'm taking away from y'all. The things that y'all say and put it in the air, it's like I take some of those that are applicable and it regulates me and it puts me in a place where I'm not acting out of fear. My attachment style is easily moving from that of fear to fulfillment. And these are the things that I actively communicate with my people around me. with my therapist and say those things. It's like, I want to make sure, like, it's just one of those things. I don't want to backtrack. I don't want to overstep. And so in doing some of those things, you know, it is really just stop, take a breath, check your emotion. Where are you at? That pause, those stupid little analogies that we do, Q-tips, all of those things that now just kind of, as application has happened, come into motion automatically. You know, I'm not looking at when the mother of my kids tells me, you're fucked up, you do this, you do that. I can take it objectively now and go, wow, you know, I'm really sorry you're feeling that way, but what is it that's bringing that up to you? Like, how can I help you in that now? Instead of going, well, fuck you, you know, I don't care that you don't like me right now, and just completely falling into her negative energy and then going into that thing. So those are a lot of the things that I have learned this year. There's a lot more things that I wish I could just articulate at this moment that I'm still trying to like process and to be able to put into words. So those are things that I'm truly, truly grateful for, and learning about my emotions, how I regulate them, and taking away a lot of the shit that we have put out here this year. You know, the healing is fucking immense. It's great to watch and see how everybody is progressing. Even if it feels like it's at a snail's pace, progress is progress. You know, it's not the pursuit of perfection. It's the pursuit of progress and healing. You know, and sometimes it's going to go really fast. Sometimes it's going to fucking drag. Sometimes it's just going to fucking stop completely. You know, but the fact of the matter is that we've all learned tools, and we all now have a support system and reference group and things that we can do now to reach out, regulate ourselves, try to put ourselves in those places in real time. And that's one of the wonderful benefits in you creating this community, you know, Andrea, to have relational trauma. It is not, you know, it is organized, but it's not. We're not traditional in a 12-step sense, but it follows the principles. And I think that is the biggest difference of how this format is working for more people than sitting in a room, getting our name called, going in correlation, sitting in all that sadness, not being able to reach across the aisle and go, hey, I feel what you're saying and I resonate with that. And here's how I kind of deal with it. And not have anybody go, you can't crosstalk. No, that's too long. You know, you give us a lot of grace to do these things, you know, and for those things, even when it does happen, like, I don't have to do it in public. I can then reach out to somebody and say, hey, this kind of offended me, or this didn't, you know, this really did resonate with me, and it's okay. And that's what's been provided here. And I think that is the biggest emotional regulating thing that we have, is like, it's okay. So thank you guys. Like, really, that is where I am today.
I'm really so glad that I signed on today, because this has been like a really wonderful way for me to reflect. This year, I've come so far in taking care of myself emotionally. It's just kind of sitting here looking at this list of just the incredible ways I've taken care of myself, or learned to take care of myself, because I didn't have that model to me by the majority of the people, you know, who kind of raised me. And one of the biggest things that I did this year is I expressed disappointment, guys. I expressed disappointment in like safe relationships, which is not something that I could do before. That, I would say, that's my biggest fucking win. We had made these plans with my sister-in-law, and she's kind of flaky with plans and like very overcommits. And when I found out that they were doing the plans that we had planned to do with her in-law, like her husband's family, I expressed disappointment on it. And she was so uncomfortable with it. My mother-in-law was so uncomfortable with it. And I stayed firm and like, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I need to express that this is disappointing to me. And I know that it's disappointing to my daughter. And what I didn't say is disappointing to my inner children, because I was really looking forward to it so much. That's huge. It's as hard as this year has been to feel that firm and like, I have a right to have these feelings and I have a right to express them in, you know, kind and constructive ways. Like, that is just really big for me. I've also come a long way in giving myself grace for my limits and my imperfections. I still definitely have a lot of work to do here, but I'm so much more gentle with myself in it's been so productive and so helpful for me to be able to give myself that grace. And it's also I mean, it just kind of spills out into other relationships too, and to be able to show the grace and the compassion to myself, but also, like, you know, members of this community and people within my social circles. It's just, I feel like my heart is just gonna like explode out of my chest right now. I've met a lot of parts of myself doing IFS work in the last bit of this year. And a lot of them I kind of already knew, but they revealed parts of themselves to me that I wasn't aware of. And I can't trace back who brought up the like the Tao of Poo stuff, but like I need to get on that bandwagon because it speaks to me in such a like wild way, the bits that I've heard of it. Another thing I've really improved on this year is to be able to emotionally regulate myself. I definitely have a long road ahead of me, but I can regulate myself in advance of stressful events and overwhelming events, like do things in the lead up to, so that way I can be more present and enjoy it more. And it's still really draining for me to actually engage in those events. But like if I need to pull myself out or tend to myself or, you know, just like find a quiet space and just like slow down and like take some deep breaths in the moment, I can do that. And it's really freeing in a lot of ways. And another thing that I've been able to do consistently for the majority of this year is to ask for the details of events that are coming up so I can feel prepared and comfortable. And I'm in the process of unpacking why that brings so much shame for me. You know, I don't know, maybe some of you listen to Kate Kennedy's podcast, Be There in 5, but she sort of like, you know, idolizes this like easy breezy mentality that she wishes she had. And I wish I had that so much, but I don't have that easy breeziness about me. And letting that go and being okay with my need for information about something that's coming up and being able to ask that and articulate it so I can get the information that I need. And like, it's been really powerful. It's interesting because I feel like me asking for those things so I can feel more comfortable definitely makes certain people in my life uncomfortable. Like having it, you know, almost like, what do I owe you, an explanation for everything? Or, you know, it's not that, you know, like I don't need to know what time we're going to eat, but I need to know like, how long am I going to have to be outside if it's too hot or too cold? And like, I need to know like how to prepare myself and mentally and physically. So I would say the last thing that I'll mention is I feel like I've spent the last couple of years in just this like emotional, thick, murky fog. And it's just kind of now really hitting me how much I've been able to access clarity. And that just feels like a huge win because I feel like it's been a decade since I was able to do that, not to the same level, but to any like remarkable level. And that feels amazing. It feels really good to be taking care of myself emotionally and feeling that clarity. And when I'm feeling that clarity, like today, to like sit down and attend this meeting and take these notes, because like this, I feel like this little high is going to help me get through the next couple of days, which are going to be really tough. But the clarity piece has just been incredible. It's felt really good to feel that so often. So yeah, I'm really thankful to this community for all of you, for being who you are and sharing what you share. And, you know, I just feel more firm in the fact than ever before that like I'm a person who leads with their heart and my wherever life takes me, like that's how I have to walk through, just like kind of heart first and taking care of myself. Thank you for letting me share.
This was making me think about not only my emotional feelings pillow that I have staring across at me from my desk, which now I require everyone to identify before they sit down and talk to me at work, how they're feeling, because I don't think enough people, us excluded, know that there can be that many versions of feelings and that many words to use to describe how we're feeling. I've learned so much
from just that pillow. I have a keychain too. But also this last year, I think through doing a lot of reading just for funsies and through characters and storytelling, I've been able to really learn and see different emotions expressed and worked through, you know, I don't know how many books I've read over there on the shelf, but 20 some odd books this year. So I've been looking for emotional, I guess, characters or other ways that I can, you know, continue to learn more about emotions. And another thing that I've been doing, I guess a little bit more recently, intensely anyway, is listening to specific music for specific moods that I'm in and making special playlists for different trips and different kind of vibes. So I found that that helps me like either work out my anger or feel connected maybe when it's that I can't talk about in that moment, or if I can't pick up the phone and reach out to y'all, you know, it's at least something that I have in my ear or can put on and lay on the ground and feel like I'm not as much alone, I guess. And then also I would say part one, maybe more like last year, would have been, you know, learning what emotions are and when I have them, oh, this is whatever it is, and then sitting with it. But I think this year putting that into practice has really been what's been my experience, you know? So if I'm really upset, like, and I'm having a reactive moment, like, what do I do? Or how do I move forward, you know, making amends and owning my shit literally when it is mine and not someone else's is something that's really hard. I never saw any of that modeled. And I would like to think that I'm getting better. I just felt like saying how I feel, like even this morning, I was just kind of like mopey around. My mom's sick, it's Christmas, it's bad timing, my aunt just died, like there's a lot going on like everyone else has. And I was just feeling sad about it. And my husband was like, what's wrong with you? And I was like, I'm just feeling sad about my mom, you know? And she was like, yeah, it's pretty sad. It's pretty awful. And even Mr. Zero Empathy was able to have a response that was made me feel, again, not as much alone. So, you know, I've been sitting outside at night just to like feel the cold. Like, I just really love winter. I know people are like kind of anti-winter, some people, but I really like feeling the cold in the ground on my feet, and I'll bundle myself up there and listen to my tunes and just sit outside and have a cry if that's what I need to do before I go to bed. Releasing emotions has been another big theme for me this year. Just, you know, I think for a really long time, there was just a lot of pent up everything inside me. Like even on my girls' trip before Thanksgiving, at one point I couldn't stop laughing. Crying. Like I was just like, there's so much water coming out of my face. And I was just like, I think I really needed to like just be silly for a second, because I don't know if I've had a silly moment, you know, without kids like attached to it in a really long time. So I think, long story short, it's just the amount of time that there is where I am dysregulated is smaller, not as much. And the amount of time from me becoming dysregulated and calming the fuck down is a lot shorter. And so these are good metrics to keep an eye on. And I am trying, as everyone knows, to currently manifest no more yelling in 2024. So we're going to have to update the password, I think, into the new year. But my anger is something, the last thing I'll say is something that I used to be super afraid of, and because it wasn't allowed, you know, and there was a lot of shame around being angry. There still is a lot of shame around being angry, and I'm a fiery person and I'm not afraid of it anymore. I'm aware of it. And I think I'm starting to wrap my hands around wielding it a little bit better, but that'll be a 2025 goal to be sure. So those are my emotional thoughts today. And I thank you for asking. And this pillow cover I bought on Etsy, just so everyone knows. It's just like over, it's great. Cause you can, if you have kids, you know, you can wash it or just take it to work so they can't mess it up. Thanks.
This isn't exactly specifically emotions, but what you started out talking about, Andrea, about realizing that I have parts and that when I'm overwhelmed or triggered or just uncomfortable, like that's just a part. It's not my whole. And that brings up that I really appreciate you, Andrea, for being open to so many different modalities and sharing what works and what doesn't work. And it just gives so much permission. I really appreciate that. But the other thing I've learned this year is I haven't learned it intellectually. I always knew it, but the experience of being vulnerable in front of people, how powerful that is. It's like the scariest thing, but man, it has some big benefits. So thank you for a great meeting, and I'll see you soon.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.